Some years ago, I was having dinner with a relative whom I'm very close to. And in the course of the meal, she began to berate me about church teachings that she didn't agree with. At one point, she raised her voice and said, "I'm right. I know I'm right." And I'm sure it must be very nice to be so convicted of one's own rightness. But it can also put a huge damper on a productive conversation. One of the benefits of our faith is that it reminds us over and over again that truth is something bigger than any single one of us. Indeed, that truth is someone bigger than any single one of us. And what's still more beautiful is that this truth, who has a name, Jesus Christ, has given the church to us as a guide to him. He's greater than the church, but the church is our most reliable guide to him. Jesus, you know, in the gospel, he didn't say that the gates of hell will not prevail against you, Father Dan. But he did say that about his church. Am I so convinced of my own righteousness that I trust myself more than the church? Do I trust myself more than Jesus? Jesus doesn't say that the truth is easy to understand. And while he's not willing to compromise on it, he does let us wrestle with it and play with it and struggle with it. We can wrestle with the truth and still be in loving communion with him. We can wrestle with the thoughts and ideas and opinions of those around us and still be in loving communion with them. That's the model that I want with that relative of mine and with any dialogue partner. A loving communion of friendship, even while we listen and argue with each other about important things. In the gospel, the truth tells us a parable about when we're convinced of our own righteousness and despise those around us. It's a scenario where there is no loving communion of friendship. And words aren't being used here to find common ground, but to beat each other up. That's kind of what the Pharisee is doing. His prayer, which Jesus describes as talking to himself, is really him practicing the verbal abuse he intends to throw at others. "You're greedy, dishonest, adulterous. You don't fast twice a week. You don't pay tithe on your income." It's like he's rehearsing a speech to verbally beat others up. But there's no love. There's no communion, either with God or with anyone else. The Pharisee thanks God that he's not greedy. But if you read the rest of the Gospels, they say over and over again about how the Pharisees were great lovers of money. He thanks God that he's not dishonest, but he's not open to the teachings of Jesus, who is the truth. He thanks God that he's not adulterous. He seems to know quite a bit about the adultery of others. One of the great shortcomings of this Pharisee was that he wasn't aware of his own sinfulness. By contrast, the tax collector didn't feel worthy even to come close to the temple, let alone to raise his eyes to heaven. And he was more than ready to blame himself and not others for his sinfulness. "Have mercy on me, a sinner." Even if he still felt himself to be enmeshed in sin, he never tried to justify it as anything other than sin. And he knew that he shouldn't be doing it, even if he struggled to stop doing it. What a beautiful example of hope. I know I'm a sinner, and I'm struggling to be different, to be other than that. But I also never lose track of what the right thing to do is. And I don't try to justify the sin. Have you ever tried to do that? Well, you know, I was having a bad day because of X, Y, and Z. And then this jerk was just terrible to me. And, you know, something bad kind of came out of my mouth. Or I could simply say, yeah, I was really mean to someone. And there was no excuse. When we humble ourselves and rely on the mercy of God and His church, then we're being like the tax collector, whom Jesus holds up as a model for us. Notice that the tax collector kept going to the temple area, just like we need to keep coming to church. The Catholic way of thinking about sin is, first of all, that we're against it, but secondly, that we're not afraid to admit to it. Because it's a lot healthier to confess my sin and be forgiven than to pretend that it's not really sin and then just hang on to it. I never let go of it then. I never open it up to the light. And then I can carry it around with me all the day. But we can be free of that. We can be rid of it. One of the beautiful ways that we can get rid of it is in the sacrament of confession. And we don't grow tired of confessing because God never grows tired of forgiving. When we confess our sins, that's when we go home justified. When we humble ourselves, then our spirits are lifted up. And that's a beautiful feeling. In that second reading, St. Paul says that if we persevere to the end, a crown of righteousness awaits us. Notice that we don't fully possess that righteousness now. We journey toward it. And the best place that we do that is in the company of the church. As Paul was drawing near to the end of his race to the righteousness of Christ, he looks back on his life and he proclaims that he has competed well in running the race and keeping the faith. It's a good challenge to us. Have we really competed well? Are we trying, striving to compete well? Have we made most use of the sacraments of the church? Have we ordered our lives rightly in terms of what the most important things are and putting them ahead of the lesser important things? Have we reached out to be involved in our faith community or in some worthwhile charitable cause, inviting others into a deeper walk with us as well? Have we modified our lifestyle so that we can give a true tithe to the Lord through the church on whatever it is? You know, maybe college students don't have a lot of income, right? But what are you able to tithe on? And as we all journey toward that crown of righteousness in heaven, are we really striving to compete well in running our race and keeping our faith? So here's the homework for the week. Let's strive to be convinced this week the righteousness of Christ and His church rather than our own. And in every conversation we have this week, let's make communion with that person our priority without forgetting the truth that is Christ.